Well, I think we'll get on to the next phase here for the next few moments. Hey, you want to answer that and let them know that you'll be there maybe a couple of minutes late today, if that'd be all right. All righty. All right, so you've had good discussions around the tables, and you're changing the world, and you're ready to change the world even more, right? Right? Yeah, here we go. Let's continue to do these things. Well, where did I put my little message? Here it is. Here we go. So this morning, I'm going to follow up with looking at mission, the mission of the church. And as stated on the on your sheets, it says that River Valley Community Church exists to love, serve, and offer hope. Really, that needs to be at the core of every group of believers in Jesus Christ. We need to be ready to love, serve, and offer hope all the time. That's our mandate. Not just with one another after a service on a Sunday morning when we're shaking hands and wishing each other well as we scoot off to our favorite restaurant and gather around tables with other believers and enjoy a nice meal together. No, it's through the middle of the week. It's during the tough times and the easy times. And it's being real, as we were talking about a little bit at our table, it's being real with other people, being honest about everything in our lives, but using who we are to offer hope, love, and the whole aspect of serving one another within the body of Christ. Well, you know something? Love looks like something. Love is identifiable. It looks like something. Serving looks like something. It's identifiable. You know when you're serving, and you know when you're being served. It looks like something. Offering hope looks like something. We know when someone is offering us hope. We hear it, and it resonates with us. It's tangible. It makes a difference. And so this morning, I'd like to encourage us towards loving and serving and offering hope, both within the context of your own personal private life, the scope of who you are as an individual when you leave this place and conduct your business, your life throughout the rest of the week, and also within who we are as an entity, as a body of believers together, identified as followers of Jesus at River Valley Community Church. So loving can look like all kinds of something, but it has to look like something. And I think of what love looked like over the Christmas season, where one of the folks that is delivered food to on a monthly basis with our food run, for instance, and the gentleman also comes very frequently to our Oasis Cafe on Thursday mornings, an older gentleman. And at the Christmas banquet, he asked me, "Where's this family with the two young kids that come to my house every month?" Well, it took me a while to figure out what he was talking about, but he was talking about the food run. One of our young families in the church delivers food once a month to this gentleman's home. And he said, "I want to take them out for dinner." And I said, "Really?" And it was because of the generosity that those folks, as a family, shared with that individual. And so he wanted to reciprocate and take them out for dinner somewhere. And so that day finally arrived, and they did that. And as I've seen this gentleman a number of times since, he lights up like a Christmas tree. You know, he's lonely. He lives alone. And this is something that he looks forward to every month. Love comes to his house every month and drops off some food, but they share a little bit of time together. They talk. They get to know each other a little bit. That's one way that love looks like something. Jesus shared his love with the world in so many different ways, and it meant giving of himself. It meant getting involved with people where they were at. And he talked a lot about loving others. 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul identifies what love looks like: patient, kind, doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it doesn't keep record of wrongs, and so on and so forth, that we persevere through love, and so on. And that love is something that we don't just reserve for people that look like us and smell like us and think like us and agree with us all of the time, but it reaches out to those who we might consider enemies. And Jesus said, you love your enemies too. You love them. And it's got to look like something. So it means you don't harass someone if they disagree with you or throw bad things over the fence into your yard. It means you care about them and love them anyway. It means that in the political climate where you may disagree with others who have such way off ideas and are leading in our country or our province or whatever, it means we don't slander them. We don't go after them. We love them. We can speak the truth in love, but we do things that say to that person, God loves you, and he's using me right now to love you too, because you are worth so much to God. So it looks like something. Serving looks like something. Serving transfers into tangible acts of kindness in all kinds of different ways. Jesus identified this very clearly, especially when he was at the supper before the crucifixion. The scriptures tell us that he took off his outer garment, he took up a basin of water, and he went to each one of his disciples. He knelt down and he washed their feet. It made them feel a little bit conspicuous. Our rabbi shouldn't be doing that for us. We should be doing that for him. But Jesus was showing them the way, that servanthood is the way to live with everybody. Jesus said that he didn't come to be served, but to serve. And he set the example for us. And he set the bar really high because he was willing to serve anyone and everyone. He was willing to get close to a leper and reach out and touch the leper. He went against the flow of their sense of religiosity, where they were supposed to keep their distance from unclean people. He went straight for them and he embraced them. He got close to them. He loved them. He served them. God showed me a little glimpse of this some years ago in one of the churches I was pastoring. We had a lady that lived next door to us who was a widow, and some things she just couldn't take care of herself, and she found that her landlord just really would never come by and never look after the things in the house. They deteriorated. It's unfortunate that her landlord was her son-in-law, so there maybe was a reason for some of that. Nonetheless, there were bad things happening to her house, and she was a member of our congregation. And we enjoyed living beside this person. She was full of love and grace. And she was telling me about how her toilet was leaking, and she had no clue what to do about this, and she couldn't get her landlord over to fix it. And so the wood around the wooden floor around the toilet was really starting to be bad. So I said, well, I've done a couple of these things in my previous life. Let me come and take a look. So I brought my tools over and I went, and before long, I went and purchased some materials that were needed, and I found myself on her bathroom floor. I've maybe shared this story before. I was laying on the bathroom floor. I had my arms wrapped around the base of the toilet. She was sitting on the edge of the tub, and we were just having this great chat together, and her little puppy kept running in and out of the house, and it seemed, not out of the house, out of the bathroom, and every time it would come scooting back into the bathroom and back out, it would bounce on my behind and then over to her and then bounce on my behind and go out again. And I'm thinking, this is quite an interesting relationship my parishioner and I are enjoying here, how we get to know one another. But while I was laying on the floor, water from the toilet dripping down, and I'm fixing this thing, and we're having conversation, and the dog is jumping, it just came into my spirit. this is taking off the outer garment, getting down and washing someone's feet. That's exactly what she needed at that time. And I thought to myself, Lord, thank you. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else right now. I'm right in the middle of your will with this woman right now. Yeah, on Sunday morning, I'm going to get up and preach a message. But the message right now is far greater than I can preach from a pulpit. And you will find yourself in situations where you will be wanting to take off your outer garment, getting down and washing someone's feet, doing something for someone else, for the sake of someone else, being willing to get up and or get down or come across or whatever and serve the needs of someone else in those moments. Just to let you know, I don't go from house to house working on people's plumbing now. No. Past life. Nonetheless, what is it that you can do to serve other people? And it might be a great fit for you. It might be something that's going to be uncomfortable. But what is it that God's given you abilities in? You know, it's unfortunate when there are people who are trained and gifted towards doing certain things, maybe leading a corporation or being a speaker or those kinds of things, and they refuse to get down and serve. Can you imagine if a ship is sinking and the captain comes and says, we need all able people to help throw water out of the ship, otherwise we're going to sink. And a few of them stand off to the side, cross their arms, and say, it's not what I was trained for. You want someone to give you a lecture on finances? I can do that, but I'm not going to bail. That's beneath me. Watch the ship sink. Everyone will go down. We're all called to serve, and we all get to serve. And with that, we offer hope. Hope looks like something. Just think of a time in your life where you felt hopeless. And something transpired, and suddenly hope began to fill your life again. Chances are it involved other people. Chances are it was someone that came along and noticed you. Maybe your countenance, you looked a little sad or dejected. Or you were sitting all by yourself again. But somebody noticed and came over and simply asked a question or two that showed that you were worth their time and they were interested in who you are. And it's amazing what that does, and hope begins to flood back in again. We are a church that exists to love, to serve, and offer hope in a whole variety of ways, in so many, many ways. Different ways. We have opportunities around us all the time to offer hope. You know, we've been talking as pastors and as our deacon board for some time about things coming up in days ahead, and there are needful things that we need to pay attention to. If you've never volunteered to help out with a Promised Land on Sunday morning, I'm not saying you need to do that, but if you do, you'll soon find out that space gets really squeezed with the kids on Sunday mornings. And we're pretty much at a squeeze point. And so we ask ourselves, what needs to happen so that we can keep offering love and serving and offering hope to families and to kids in our own church here and in our community when our space on Sunday mornings is so squeezed with kids? In order to truly be on mission in loving and serving and offering hope to people as a community of believers, as River Valley Community Church, yeah, we need adequate space to do these things. And so, you know, different things have been tossed around. We've thought about the bingo hall. We've looked at the bingo hall. And it's interesting, you know, some years ago, well, not years, maybe a year and a half, close to 2 years ago, Pastor Randy, Pastor Mark, and myself did a little excursion into the arena. We had called ahead and we had a guided tour through the arena because we knew it was going to be available at some point. And we were shown around. And at that time, it was hard for me to imagine. How could we make space? How could we use this space? We weren't growing by leaps and bounds yet. What would we do with this huge building? My goodness. And yet, different ones of you, I know, have said to ones of us at times in leadership saying, what about the arena? Why don't we go look at the arena? Think what we could do at the arena. So as it happens, it was about just a few weeks ago. Remember the front page of the newspaper the one day? There was a full page spread on a Monday morning, a Tuesday morning, I think it was, about the arena, that they were looking for letters of interest from businesses, corporations, developers, to see what they might do with the land, whether they tear that arena down or repurpose the arena. And as I saw that, just something shot through my spirit. And part of it was because the day before I had a nice conversation with Herb Lee from Abbotsford, or Vancouver, and we were talking. And talking about getting to the river and talking about our space squeezes and different things like that. And he said, you know, Larry, with real estate, you've got to be ready to act. Sometimes when real estate becomes available, it might take months or even years before something's available. Or you might have to act immediately on a day's notice. So the next day I see this in the paper and I thought, oh boy, what do we do? So I talked to the other pastors. And they said, well, let's put a letter in, see what happens. Long story short, we put a letter of interest together just outlining briefly our vision for our church and community and city. And so the gentleman that I talked with at the city hall was glad to receive it. And he said, in January, we'll begin the process of looking through any letters that come in. So this last week, we actually had a call from city hall. And as a result, Pastor Randy and myself will be going to City Hall Wednesday at 10:30 in the morning to sit down with a couple of people who are responsible at City Hall. They want to hear more of our vision. They want to hear what we're really thinking. How would this all play out? And so it doesn't cost us anything to explore. And you know something? If the City Hall decides to go in a totally different direction and we have no more say in this, at least it will help us sharpen our focus for where we're going. But on the other hand, it's an opportunity for us to sit down with city leaders and say, the church in Medicine Hat is alive and well. We care about our city. We know that there are needful things going on. There are nonprofit organizations that are doing such great work, but they're underfunded and underspaced. And we could network with all kinds of organizations to see the city of Medicine Hat have needful things happen for the sake of the kingdom of God. And so, would you be in prayer for us? I just want to close with this little quote and then let you visit around your tables. I'm not sure if we'll even have time to visit around on this one, but nonetheless, this morning I picked up this little book. This is actually Pastor Randy's copy, but I have it on my e-reader. And I read a portion this morning. It's called The Dream Giver by Bruce Wilkinson. And in it he says, I was eating lunch with a friend who has a PhD in leadership development. I asked him, based on all your research and experience, what would you say is the most important secret to developing world-class leaders? And I'll tell you something. River Valley Community Church, we need to be in the process of developing world-class leaders. God is doing things among us and through us. And we need world-class leaders to take what God is giving to us and continue to move it forward for the sake of God's kingdom here in this city and around the world. So, he put his fork down. Well, it's not a course, it's not a lecture or a book, he said. He then picked up his fork and started eating again. His answer intrigued me. I asked him to explain. The single best way to develop leaders, he said, is to take people out of their safe environment and away from the people they know and throw them into a new arena they know little about. That caught my attention. And I thought, Lord, you've got a great sense of humor. I know nothing about arenas other than they used to have ice surfaces and we could play hockey on them. And then he continues and says, throw them into an arena where they know little about it, way over their head, preferably. In fact, the more demanding their challenges, the more pressure and risk they face, the more likely a dynamic leader will emerge. We've talked about developing leaders from within to continue the ministries of this church. I believe that there are people sitting around these tables right now who will be raised up for ministries of all kinds, whether it's pastoral ministry, counseling, coming alongside of others in different ways, helping with financial situations, on and on and on and on. And you know something? I think God, whether it's the arena or some other situation, I think God is I think we're kind of like in a nest right now. And God is coming to the nest and he's tipping it over a little bit and saying, get out and fly. Flap your wings. Make some things happen. Make some waves. For my sake and for my kingdom's sake, because there's a whole lot of people in Medicine Hat who are dying without me. And Jesus wants us to continue to explore what his kingdom expansion looks like with the resources that he's given to us. And the greatest resources he has given to us, brothers and sisters, is you and 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 you. All of us together. Days ahead are going to be pretty interesting. But God is good. So I'm going to ask that do we have time to discuss, or should we just move right into communion? Yeah, let's go to communion. I'm going to invite you in your small groups.